We're in business. Revelation 15, beginning with verse 1. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign. Seven angels with the seven last plagues. Last, because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast in his image and over the number of his name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this, I looked, and in heaven, the temple that is the tabernacle of the testimony was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chests. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. God's word for us this morning. Please be seated. This is a third of a series of three messages on the songs from the book of Revelation. And in chapter 15, as you noticed as we went through our scripture reading, we can say that in heaven, eventually we're going to hear two songs, among others, being sung. This chapter is a prelude to the final and terrible judgment of God that will be poured out on the wicked before the time the Bible talks about the great tribulation ends. And the Apostle John has shown us in previous chapters the opening of the seven seals, the sounding of seven trumpets, and each of which brings severe judgment upon the wicked by destructive acts that are clearly not reading for the faint-hearted. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 1 that we just read, this provides us with another sign in sequence to the two previous signs recorded in Revelation 12. In Revelation 12, you have the sign of a woman clothed with the sun in verse 1, and the sign appearing in heaven, referring to this enormous red dragon in verse 3. And these three signs together in the book of Revelation seem to concentrate attention on the woman, which some people interpret to be Israel, on a future world empire, which many people believe will be the ultimate work of Satan, and the seven angels of the seven last plagues, which will bring about God's final judgment on the wicked. These plagues concern a judgment of God that is different and unique from anything else in the scriptures. And being seven in number, remember, seven is an important number in the Bible. This gives the impression of completion or a fulfillment of God's judgment. And these plagues that are talked about later on in the book of Revelation will be an expression of God's wrath, indicating not so much his judicial wrath, but his righteous indignation. And remember, God always has a reaction to sin. His reaction first is anger, then second in wrath in form of judgment. Did you notice in Revelation chapter 15, verse 2, a sea, S-E-A, mentioned here? This is a sea of glass. Some people think that this may have been a heavenly pattern for the molten sea of the earthly temple that is recorded back in 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 23. Or some people see this symbolic as the Red Sea, as it was akin to the experience of the Israelites crossing. Remember, it seemed that there was no way for the Israelites to successfully escape from Egypt. But God did provide a way. When you see fire in the scriptures, what does it usually stand for? It stands for divine judgment. And notice the victorious group in Revelation 15, 2. They were all giving a musical instrument, right? It wasn't a guitar, it wasn't a trumpet, it was a harp. It seems in heaven that each one of us isn't going to get to have a harp to play. Only certain personages will have harps. And those who are martyred dead in Christ are among those who will be given harps in heaven. This is going to be a scene of worship that will depict the majesty and the brilliance of God. And some people even believe that this sea of glass that has the appearance of fire will possibly also reflect all the various colors of the rainbow. Notice in Revelation 15, verses 3 and 4, these verses seem to imply that in heaven, among the songs, there will be two special songs, one of Moses and one of the Lamb. Now, Bible scholars aren't sure about the words of the Song of Moses. Some think it might refer to the song sung by Moses in Exodus 15, verses 1 to 18, when the children of Israel were triumphant over Pharaoh. And those Bible scholars who believe that look at verses 1, 3, and 18 of Exodus 15, and they also say, well, this might fit the overthrow of the Antichrist as well, because in some respects, the Pharaoh of ancient Egypt was also reflective of the future Antichrist. And could it be that destruction of Pharaoh's armies in the Red Sea might be symbolic of the future battle of Armageddon when people battle against God? Other people think, no, the song of Moses that will be sung in heaven isn't from Exodus 15, but some people think it will be Deuteronomy chapter 32. Later today, go ahead and take a look at that. This could be referred to as a song of Moses that refers to God's faithfulness that we'll sing in heaven. Did you know in the ancient synagogues, the song of Moses was sung in the afternoon service of each Sabbath to celebrate God's sovereign reign over the entire universe? And of course, the Jewish redemption from Egypt also reminded the Jews of God's sovereignty. The deliverance from Egypt with its plagues, the judgment on Israel's enemies, became for the Jews a signpost that God eventually makes everything right in the world. And so God's final judgment and deliverance of the followers of the Lamb are going to bring forth from the victors over the beast these exuberant songs of praise to God for God's righteous acts. After the song of Moses is mentioned, it talks about the song of the Lamb. And of course, who's the Lamb? The Lord Jesus Christ. The servants of God who are going to be victorious over the Antichrist, they are just going to praise God. And this song that we just read about, the song of the Lamb, concerns the character of God. It portrays God as being righteous, God as being true, God as being eternal. And the songs of the nations, remember, it won't be just Americans in heaven. There will be people in heaven from every nationality on this earth. The songs of the nations worshiping God is a frequent mention in a lot of Old Testament prophecies in the book of Psalms, Isaiah, Daniel, Zephaniah, and Zechariah. And if you're interested in the specific passages, I'll be glad to give you a copy of those. Would you please look at verses 5 to 8 of chapter 15? It talks about a temple here in heaven, and it indicates that these angels are coming out of an inner holy place. Now, we know on earth, access by the priest was limited. Priests were only allowed to enter the Holy of Holies at certain times of the year. But angels, because they have no sin, are able to enter this holy place in heaven. Remember, the holy place of the Israeli temple held the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments. The Ark signified that God was faithful in keeping His covenant and promise. And the angels are going to be given a bowl of God's wrath to be poured out, not in this chapter we're looking at today, but in chapter 16 of Revelation. Did you know in the ancient temple on earth, the bowls were vessels used in the temple ministry? They were used especially to give offerings and incense. And some were probably ritual bowls used for even collecting the blood of the animal sacrifices. We also find mention in 1 and 2 Kings of golden bowls that were associated with the temple. Did you notice that in heaven there's going to be smoke? Smoke that will fill the temple in heaven refers probably to the Shekinah cloud that was first associated with the tabernacle as the Israelites wandered 40 years in the wilderness, and later with the dedication of the temple. The Shekinah glory, that smoke, symbolized God's special presence and the one who is the source of the judgments. And the references to that in Exodus chapter 40, 1 Kings 8, chapter 8, and Ezekiel chapter 11. What kind of clothing is going to be worn? The white clothing. The white clothing speaks of judgment without mercy. And did you notice that there are golden girdles described there, announcing the righteousness of the angel's task? And the seven bowls of wrath apparently will be filled to overthrowing. And this is a very dramatic consummation of God's judgment on a wicked world. And the scripture indicates, of course, that smoke will fill the temple in heaven in a way similar to how the cloud filled the tabernacle back in Exodus chapter 40. I know we often think about God's judgment, but do we often consider that judgment comes from the presence of God? But not only does judgment come from God's presence, but so does salvation. And did you ever think that the reverse of judgment is salvation? We know that some people are very, very hardened through sin, just like Pharaoh of ancient Egypt. There are some people that live their life every day with their fist raised toward God. We all know them. They're challenging God. But God will judge each person who runs away from Him, so to speak, according to God's own timetable. You've heard the expression, the best is yet to come. At this point in the book of Revelation, it appears that the worst is yet to come, as seven angels and seven plagues are ready to pour out these seven bowls of wrath of God. And John shows us a scene in heaven. Imagine these seven angels sort of queuing up in a line, and the spectators of heaven are assembling around them. God has decided their situations have to be dealt with before justice is properly and finally administered. Only then can there be the blessedness of a new heaven and a new earth. And I know each one of us is looking forward to Revelation 21:4, where death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Because every one of us here has mourned, and every one of us has experienced pain, and every one of us knows what it's like to weep. I believe the book of Revelation isn't just a book about judgment. It is. But it is also a source of hope for the faithful. But it brings also a clear warning to people who are unfaithful that there are consequences to choices and actions in the world. Did you notice ever, as you've read or studied the book of Revelation, that three times in the closing chapter of Revelation, Jesus Christ says, "I am coming soon." And this is not only a happy promise to the righteous, but it's also a stern warning to those who run away from the Lord. Revelation 22:12 says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." Unquote. You know, that sounds like music to the ears of the faithful, but it will not be a happy sign to the unfaithful. I think the Apostle John sets this scene for us as an artist would paint a picture. He paints a picture of the spectators present for this event. He presents a scene where there's going to be significant singing. And this appears to be taking place in a room that's called the throne room, but the throne is not there. And there's that sea that looks like glass, but with an added feature, the glass seems to be mixed with fire. And standing beside that sea and the angels and all those singing are the Christian martyrs. Did some of you hear about another church was bombed in Pakistan this morning? You know, Christians are under siege in Asia and in the Middle East and in Africa. And we're going to see some of those Christian martyrs in heaven. Those who victoriously overcame evil. You know, history describes many horrific, terrible acts of persecution of the early Christians by the Roman emperors. Most notably cruel of them all was Domitian. Domitian took seriously the idea that since he was emperor, he was God. And you were in trouble if you didn't worship him. His acts of cruelty to those who dared not worship him are nearly unspeakable. But many Christian martyrs in the first century marched into the arena of death by the thousands with a spirit of joy because they knew they were about to have their lives transformed and live with Jesus. Many of them even volunteered to be martyrs. Back in the first century, their persecutors watched them die, and they thought they would defeat that Christian faith. But not so, because they knew that Jesus Christ, their Lord, had laid down his life so they could gain life eternal. And remember, when Jesus was dying on the cross, even his executioners began to wonder who won, him or them. But for those in the first century and the 21st century who die in the name of Christ, those Christian martyrs are going to be the spectators and the participants in these events that are unfolding in Revelation chapter 15. And unfortunately, even though we think we live in a more civilized world today, tens of thousands of Christians have been martyred here in the 21st century. These martyrs are going to arrive on the scene with the harps of God in hand, and the singing will begin. And as they sing, those avenging angels will arrive, and they'll prepare to depart with bowls from which they'll pour out the wrath of God on those who thought they won when they put those Christian martyrs to death. Never forget, there's going to be many songs in heaven. And in this chapter, we have the choir singing two songs. First, the song of Moses, for which John has set the appropriate scene. The sea that looks like glass mixed with wire. It gives the appearance of that Red Sea. The martyr safe crossing the Sea of Death was reminiscent of the Israelites' escape from Egypt by crossing the Red Sea. The song of Moses, of course, in Exodus 15, gives a detailed description of what happened to the Egyptian army. And it rings with great satisfaction as the Israelites praise God, not only for his holiness, but for God's deeds. They sing on, and they don't only celebrate the defeat of the Egyptians, but they anticipate a similar fate for the occupants of the land that God would be giving them. Isn't it appropriate for the martyrs to sing that song from Exodus? Because their spiritual enemies will suffer a similar or worse fate. And the seven angels with the seven bowls of divine wrath, they are ready. They're poised. And if you read the book of Revelation, what happened in Egypt is mild compared to what is going to happen to this world before there is a new earth and a new heaven. But let us never forget that the martyrs will also have their own song, the song of the Lamb. And it's a song that nobody could learn except those who experienced redemption. But it is here, we read it today in John's Apocalypse for all to see. We can read the words. We can imagine what will the tune be like. We can identify with the sources of the words and the phrases. But until we're in heaven, I don't think we're totally going to comprehend what we've just read here today. We would have to be with those martyrs in the arena of persecution. We would have to be seeing them under the altar in heaven. We'd have to be standing by the fiery crystal sea, seeing them with harp in hand. It is uniquely their song. And they'll sing it with a feeling born out of the martyr's experience. Like so much of this book of Revelation, the Song of the Lamb is laced with quotations and thoughts from the Old Testament. But this song is considerably more temperate than the Song of Moses, because the blessed martyrs in heaven will not allude to their suffering in the song. It's going to be a song of pure praise to God, and it is going to be an inclusive song because Revelation 15:4 says, "All nations will come and worship before you." May each one of us live, and may each one of us die, trusting in the shed blood of Christ, that we too can join these martyrs and stand in heaven, worshiping Jesus and singing our hearts out with our fellow believers in other lands. Let's take the name of Jesus with us. Will you turn as you stand to our hymn of invitation, number 378. Take the name of Jesus with you.